Praise the Lord. God bless you today, beloved. Hallelujah. As I was spending time with the Lord this morning, my goodness, I just could see things so clearly. It's just weird sometimes to be able to see something that's so simple and then understand why we can't see it. It's amazing to me. I was thinking about the Old Covenant and why the Old Covenant promises the nations and the land and money and everything in the world. The Old Covenant promises us if you will obey God in every area and do all the law of Moses commanded perfectly, then you will inherit the land. You will get it all. Why? Because it was intended for Adam in the first place. Adam lost it to Lucifer. He lost it to the kingdom of darkness because he sinned. It became a curse to him. The world, the earth became a curse. And so even if, oh goodness, I'll get into that in a minute. But it became a curse to him, and thorns and thistles. And now Adam had to survive by the sweat of his brow, by miserable labor, instead of enjoying all that God had created for him to have. And so God comes many years later to reveal to the world what happened at creation. Through Israel, through Moses. Moses is the one that wrote Genesis. He's the one that wrote it. God revealed what happened at the very beginning to Moses so that Moses could tell the people, as he's giving them the law, he tells them what happened in the beginning. Now watch this. Oh my goodness, you can't miss this. He gave them the law, and God said the reason that the law was given was to expose their iniquity. It was to show them that what Moses was telling them was true. Oh my goodness, you're going to see this. In Jesus' name, I pray God give you eyes to see it, ears to hear it. And so man had to find out that they are fallen and that they have lost what is here because of sin. And so Moses comes and he says, listen, if you as mankind can do all that God commands, you can basically have it back. You can quit getting it by the sweat of your brow. God will give you houses you didn't build. He'll give you land and crops you didn't cultivate. He'll give you everything without your effort. He'll give it all to you. But watch this. God knew that none of them could do it. He was trying to show them their sin. He was trying to show them why they lost it in the first place and why it has to be burned up. And this is why the prophets would always prophesy, obey God, but you won't, you never have, you never will. Everything's going to be burned up and God's going to create a new earth. But watch this. Oh my goodness, you got to get this. It's unbelievably amazing. It's such a simple concept. So the Old Covenant promises you earthly blessing. Why? Because if Adam can obey God in all, in everything he says to do, then Adam can have it. It was made for him in the first place. But because he cannot, because he does not, and because he will not, what is here is corrupt in a... Now watch this. Not only is what is here going to burn up as guaranteed in the Word of God, because of it is corrupt, there must be a new earth created. But watch this. The Old Covenant promises you can have it for obedience. This is what many people are still preaching. You can have it for obedience. But you know what? We're desiring, when we get caught up in that, we are actually wanting what is reserved for fire. Not only are we desiring what's reserved for fire, but it is in a constant state of decay until the fire burns it up. And so even if you get it, even if you get the things of the world, you'll get the trouble that comes with it and the misery that comes with it and the curse that's connected to it. And whatever you get here, even if you get it through faithfulness and obedience and giving tithe and giving offerings and believing God to give it to you, if you're using the old covenant, not realizing it, it's believing God to give you what's here. And then when you get it, it's connected to decay and headache. And friend, even if you get it and you do pretty well with it, what happens to your children after you pass it on to them? And this is what God showed us all through the old covenant, even the ones that got it. I remember one wicked king, the prophet came to him and said, listen, you know, all your people are going to go into captivity because of sin and this and that and the other. And the king goes, well, at least it's not going to happen in my lifetime, because the prophet told him it's going to happen to your children. And the king's heart was so wicked, Adam's heart was so wicked, that he said, well, at least I'll be blessed in my lifetime. He did not really care what happened when he was gone. This is how perverted and how wicked the nature of mankind is. They don't realize, listen, even if you, as a matter of fact, if you get everything here, by being obedient, and first of all, you're never going to be fully obedient, but if you get a lot of things here through obedience, what's going to happen to your children when you leave it to them? What will happen to them? Because they're not obedient like you are. There's no way they're going to be exactly like you are. If you could be mostly obedient and get it, and then leave it to your kids. Your hope is that they'll be obedient too, that they'll do everything right too, but it doesn't happen. So as the generations pass, you leave what you gain in the world that's connected to corruption, that's connected to decay, that's reserved for fire, you leave it to your children and it causes them. Matter of fact, they fight over it. I've done so many funerals and I've seen brothers stop talking to each other because of daddy's guns. Who was going to get daddy's guns? I was supposed to get daddy's guns. No, I was supposed to get daddy's guns. And they, oh my goodness, it's unbelievable the things that happen when somebody dies and their stuff is argued over. That's why we have wills all over the world, because so people won't argue over the stuff. But bitterness usually always still comes in somewhere, something happens. Every now and then a family escapes it. But oh my goodness, if you could get this, it's a simple concept. Now let's just zero in on the difference of the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant was to the fallen man to show him the truth, to confirm Genesis, to confirm the fall of man, and show him why he couldn't have it. Why he couldn't hang on to it if he did get it. That's what God did with Israel. God was not using Israel to show us how to do it right this time. He was using Israel to show us that even if God gave himself to a group of people, even if God gave them the glory, even if God parted the sea for them and they walked across on dry, even if God gave them everything without their effort, they would still fail to be obedient, and it would still be burned up, and it would still decay, and it would still be worthless. It's not worth anything. And that's the old covenant. It's to expose our iniquity, to show us why everything here has to be burned up, to show us why everything here is decaying. It is to reveal it to us. And when we don't know that, when we don't have a revelation of that, we are still under the delusion that if I'll be obedient, I can have what's here. And why is it a delusion? Because it is impossible for your life to be obedient. There's only one life that is fully obedient. It is the life of the last Adam, and it doesn't even want what's here. Now let's transition into that and understand that. Why does the new covenant not promise you the things that are here for obedience? It doesn't. It doesn't. Jesus is the new covenant. Jesus did not want anything here because he knew it could not be redeemed. He knows it's corrupt. He knows it's in a state of decay, that it cannot be redeemed. He did not want it. He called money filthy. He did not want it at all. He said, you either hate God or you hate mammon. You either love God or you love mammon. There's no gray area in between. Why did Jesus hate money? Why did he despise it? Why did he call it filthy and unrighteous? Why did he not want land? Why did he not want anything here? Why did he leave no inheritance to his disciples? Why did he leave no inheritance to his family? Because, friend, he knew what the old covenant was for. He knew that it wasn't to truly give us back the earth and the world. It was to show us why we can't have it and to show us what's wrong with it. And so the new covenant does not promise us the things of the at all. It doesn't promise you success in the world. It doesn't promise you worldly blessings. Why? Because the new covenant is a revelation of what the old covenant was for, and it's about a eternal kingdom that cannot be corrupted, that is not here. And what is here, friend, is very clearly in the Bible, several places, shown to be reserved for fire. Everything you see is going to be burned up. Everything you collect, everything you gain here is going to be burned up. Not only is it going to be burned up, it's going to be in a constant state of decay until it's burned up, friend. Get the new vehicle you want. I've done it many times. I don't know how many new cars I've had. And every single time within a couple weeks, because I'm a child of God, I know why. But every time usually within 5-6 days, it gets a big scratch or a little scratch somewhere. Somebody hits it with their door. No matter how hard I try, I'll park 45 miles. When I got a new car, I'll park across the street. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But I'll park way out in the parking lot so nobody will hit. And somebody will come park right beside me and open their door. Unbelievable. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. How in the world? Within 5 days, I get a scratch on a brand new $50,000, $30,000, $40 car. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And it's all because God is constantly showing me and constantly, listen, everything here is going back to dust. Do not love it. Don't want it. Don't desire it. Don't cling to it. Don't have affection for it. Oh, my goodness. But friend, when you begin to understand the two covenants, it is absolutely mind-boggling, but it's such a simple concept. Moses gave them Genesis. Moses is the first one that tells mankind about the fall of man. Think about this. Moses told them about the fall of man. Moses told them why there's thorns, why there's thistles, why we have to make a living by the sweat of our brow. Moses told them about our sin. And then Moses gave them the law of God and said, if you'll do everything God says to do, then the thorns won't get you anymore. The thistles won't get you anymore. And you'll gain everything without the sweat of your brow. That's what he was doing. And they said, okay, we're going to do it. Okay, we're going to do it. Because they're Adam. They think they're good. They think they can do right. They think they can handle it. They think they can handle it. And they can't. So Moses tells them, okay, do everything God says to do. And it's yours without any sweat. The curse is gone. If you can do everything God says to do, you are no longer cursed. But nobody can, and that's why God told Moses to give them the law and to give them Genesis and to give them all of those scriptures so that they would find out and understand. This is what the prophets came for. The prophets came to show them their iniquity. The prophets exposed their own. The prophets acknowledged their own iniquity. The greatest saw that they were not any different than anybody else. Elijah. Elijah died because of depression, or didn't die, but left because of depression. He couldn't overcome his depression, his revelation that he wasn't any different than his fathers, that he wasn't any different than any other Adam. It so overwhelmed him, he could not break out of the darkness. And so God took him out of this world because he couldn't break out of the darkness. When he realized the truth, he couldn't handle it, and he had to leave. God tried to encourage him. It wouldn't work. The prophets were constantly showing the people their sin, telling them they weren't going to be obedient, telling them God will do everything for you if you'll be obedient. But you won't be obedient. You never have been obedient. And everything here is going to be burned up. That's what the prophets preached, friend. And this is why a false prophet is someone who continues to promise you earthly and worldly blessings for obedience. It is a false prophet because they do not really know the Word of God. A true prophet will always tell you you're going to fail. You've always failed, and this is why it has to be burned up, and there must be a new one created, and there must be a new covenant, and we must give up our life, and all of us must die. This is what the real prophet says. The false prophet does not know the truth. They don't see the simple concept of why God gave the law, why God told us if we'll obey Him, He'll bless us. They can't see it. We can't see it. We are blind. When I talk about the false prophet, I'm talking about the life of Adam, friend. Every human being who's walking in their own life and still believing that if I'll obey God, is a false prophet. All of us, even if you prophesy many things that are true, but you still don't really understand these basic revelations and concepts of the Word of God, you will continue to twist things and say, God will bless you, God will bless you, God will bless you, He'll give you the land, He'll give you the house, He'll give you the car, He'll give you this. Why? Because you don't understand the difference between the two covenants. Why does everybody who wants the world want to be like Abraham? Because Abraham was under the old. Abraham was in the days of the old. He was before Moses. I understand that, of course. But he was Adam. Abraham was not good. There are none that are good. He was counted righteous, but he was not righteous. Abraham was not good. Why did God give him things for his obedience? Because that's what God was showing. And God was using him to reveal it. He was using him to reveal why it's all going well. Abraham gained all kinds of things. His children gained land they didn't cultivate, crops they didn't cultivate. They gained houses, and they lost it all. They lost it over and over and over and over again. It's reserved for fire. Everything God was doing was to reveal to us the truth of Genesis. That's why Moses, the first thing he tells them is Genesis. He tells them about the fall. And then he says, okay, now if you'll obey God, you can have it without the sweat of your brow. You can have it without the curse. But if you don't obey God, you're going to be cursed because of sin, because of the fall of man. And then we get to the New Testament, and Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he was convinced if he obeyed God, he was going to get it. And so God had to wake him up and show him the truth. And he revealed to Paul, that he revealed the purpose of the old covenant. So Paul didn't want anything here, counted it all as dung. He wasn't saying, be obedient now so you can have it. Why? Because he was awakened to the truth. He was awakened to what it's all about. And Paul began to realize, oh my goodness, the reason for the law was not to get it. The reason for the law was to show us why it's cursed and why we can't have it and why we shouldn't even want it. That was the whole purpose of it in the beginning. Oh my goodness. Look how deceived mankind is. Still not understanding. So what's the answer? What's the answer? People say, well, what does it look like, bro? What are you saying? What's the answer then? The answer is to believe in the cross. We die. Why did we have to die? Why do we have to hate the world and reject it? Why does God not want us to want anything here? Don't take a single thought for what you're going to eat or drink or wear. Why does God not want us to love what we see? To desire what our eyes see, what our natural man wants, to have pride in the life that we have. Oh my God, Christians have that more than anybody. Why does God say if we have that, the love of the Father is not in us? Because of the truth, friend. Because this is a fallen, corrupt world that is under the dominion of Satan. And contrary to much false teaching, Jesus did not take back the kingdoms of the world, and He's not promising them to you. He didn't take back the kingdoms of the world from Satan. This world is corrupt, as the Bible calls Satan the god of this world in the epistles, long after Jesus was ascended into heaven. The Bible calls Satan the god of this world. Friend, he is the god of this world. Jesus didn't. As a matter of fact, Satan came up to Jesus and said, if you'll bow to me, I'll give it all to you. Jesus didn't come to get the kingdoms of the world, friend. His kingdom is not of this world. He's not promising you the nations as your inheritance. That's in Psalm, I believe chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken. It's in Psalms, and it's about the Son. It's about Jesus Christ. I will give you the nation. Ask of me, and I'll give you. And the Psalm is about the fact that they're all in iniquity and doing and messed up and wrong. And then he says to the Son, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. When is that going to happen? When everything is burned up here, friend. All that is corrupt is burned up. A new heavens and a new earth is created. And Jesus will rule over the nations forever in purity and in righteousness, friend. But that is coming after what we have here is completely destroyed with fire. So hey, listen to the simple concept here. If you want what's here, you want what's reserved for fire. If you want what's here, you want what is in a state of decay. And it's not going to make you happy. It's going to make you miserable. There's headaches with it. That's why Paul said, we are content if we have food and clothing. We are content. Oh my goodness, how in the world is that possible? Find an American content with that. Lord have mercy, man. We're preaching, be obedient and you'll get it all. Basically, that's what we're saying. And we're prophesying to people, you know, God's going to give it to you. God's going to bless you. God's going to give you this. God's going to give you the nation. God's going to give you. And every single bit of it, friend, is total darkness and total deception. And we have no idea what we're doing. We don't understand the basic concepts. We don't understand what the old covenant was for and what the new covenant is about. We want to be like Abraham so we can have the stuff. But if we have the stuff, what's going to happen to our kids, friend? What's going to happen to our children? Just read the Bible. What happens to the children of those who have the stuff? Oh my goodness. It's not good. It doesn't turn out good at all. Everything here is connected to a curse. And the only way you can have it without the curse is if you are perfectly obedient in everything that God commands. If you're not, then everything you have here is corruption. Everything you have here is decaying. Everything you have here will add trouble to you. It will add pain to you. It will add sorrow. It will add misery to your life. And if it doesn't get you fully, it's going to get your children when you're gone. And don't be like the wicked king who says, well, as long as in my lifetime I'm blessed, as long as in my lifetime we don't go into captivity, then I'm okay. Oh, my good gracious, in Jesus' name. This is what's wrong with us. This is why we had to die. Everything in the Word is to show you why you had to die. And if you don't hate your own corrupt life, if you don't, I'm not talking about your drinking life and cussing life and smoking life. I'm talking about your religious life. I'm talking about everything about you naturally is corrupt, and everything you touch, you corrupt. Why? Because you live in a fallen world and you have the fallen life of your parents and the fallen life of their parents. Now, if you have the life of Jesus inside of you, that does not change the fact that naturally you are Adam, and naturally your natural man is in a state of decay. If you don't believe that, look in the mirror, praise the Lord. Your natural man is in a state of decay. Why? Because of what it is. So you have to hate this life and what this world is and what it has to offer. You have to understand its corruption and not want it and turn away from it so that you can have the eternal kingdom of God and you can have the life of Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus didn't want anything here. His kingdom is not of this world. How radically different was Jesus than Moses? Was Jesus than Abraham? Jesus was radically different. Never said anything about getting houses you didn't build. Never said anything about inheriting the things that are here. As a matter of fact, he was so anti here. That's not a word. But he was so anti here. He was against money. He was against the prosperity of the world. He didn't want anything to do with it. And he rebuked and harshly judged those that had it and that wanted it. Woe to the rich. Woe to those who have the things that are here. Because they're not going to have anything. They've already received their reward. Why is that? Because the only way you can truly have things here is to have corruption in you as well. You've got to take it from somebody else. You've got to take it from someone else. Somehow, you've got to step on somebody to get it. Even in the old covenant, they had to step on somebody to get it. They had to kill somebody that they were even more sinful than the people they killed. Everything is a picture, friend. Everything is a picture in the Word of God to show us the truth. Oh, God, help us in Jesus' name. And deliver us from the lies of Satan. Satan wants to keep you desiring what's here. He wants to keep you wanting what's here. Because as long as you do, you don't understand the truth and you can never walk in dominion over him. He doesn't want you to cast him out. He doesn't want you to reveal truth to people. He doesn't want you to be a catalyst for God to reveal the truth and people to not want what's here and to begin to believe what happened at the cross and begin to turn away from the desires of Adam and begin to lay hold of the life of the last Adam. And everywhere they go, they drive out demons and lies and darkness. And the people quit loving what's here and quit wanting what's here. And they begin to lay hold of Jesus Christ. And they begin to lay hold of the power of his kingdom, my friend. Oh, my goodness, in Jesus' name. Woo, I'll stop. Praise the Lord. I'm just getting started. Praise. May God give us a revelation of the simple concept. The old covenant was a promise to get what's here if we'll be obedient. Because God was trying to show us why we can't have it and why none of us are obedient. That's what Genesis is about, the fall. Why is there thorn and thistle? Why is it all connected to a curse? Jesus comes. He reveals a new covenant in his blood. His covenant is not be obedient so you can have what's here. His covenant is believe in the power of what I've accomplished. Hate your own life. Focus on the cross. Bring every thought captive to what I did there, and the Holy Spirit will show you the truth. That's the new covenant. It is the blood. Be baptized. Identify with my death. Identify with my tomb. And then you can participate in my resurrection. You can have the kingdom that is eternal if you'll despise, hate, turn away from the one that is temporal. Oh my goodness. God bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen.